Hi, everyone. This is Stephanie with Women Who Secure, and the special guest today is Jenny. Jenny, hello. How are you?
Hi, Stephanie. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Jenny, can you remind me? I think we've met through Women in Cybersecurity, right? With WICYS?
I honestly don't remember if it was directly through that, or I feel like I just found you on Instagram.
Because we've known each other for a few years now. You've known me when I was at my first job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've always been like my role model. So
I think you're right. I think it was Instagram and you were with school. You were with IU's, what was that organization? The IU Cybersecurity Club, right?
Yeah, it might have been. That might have been it. Okay, I think I followed you on Instagram and then I needed a speaker for my club and I reached out to you. And then after that, we became friends.
Yes. Okay, now I remember. That's the story we'll tell. You know, you look at me like a role model, but I look at you and I'm like, look at how much she's accomplished and everything that you've always said you would do, you've always done it. And you've always got to like that point. When Jenny invited me to be a speaker, I remember you were just so eager to learn about cybersecurity. You asked the correct questions. You landed your first internship. I remember that. And the thing that I love about you is that you never hesitated to reach out, whether that be about like your offer, negotiating, anything that you ever like worried about along the lines of there. I felt like you were like a little sister from like far away.
That's what it felt like for me too. I do have an older sister, but she's like a lawyer. So we don't have a lot in common career-wise. So it was definitely great to have someone like you to reach out to and connect with. And especially on personal levels too, honestly, like living in Indiana and going through relationships and friendships and things like that. I feel like you were like a wisdom, like an owl that I would go to and get some really great advice from.
Yeah, I appreciate it. For those that don't know, let's let them know about, you know, what you're doing right now. And then we'll kind of get into how you got started, what you studied, et cetera. So yeah, I don't even know what you're up to now.
Okay, so my current role is an information security and risk analyst at a wealth management institute called Northern Trust here in Chicago. That title sounds pretty cool and the job description sounded cool, but on a day-to-day basis, I'm not actually doing what I was expecting I'd be doing. But I'm actually, what I do like is that I'm in a rotational program. So every 6 months I get to join a new team. And I've gotten to switch. I was actually the only one hired my year. So I've been having very individualized attention. And so I get to speak directly to my manager and tell them what I want to be doing. And they've been very flexible and moved me around to the teams that I'm more interested in. So my first rotation, I was doing risk metrics. My second rotation was cloud security. And right now I'm in a brand new team called like tech risk and control or something. I don't fully understand it. but yeah, it's been really cool. I honestly like my company a lot. Good work-life balance, good culture. Yeah.
That's good. Wait, I love that you're doing a rotational. That is so cool. I usually hear about rotationals with consultants or internships. I love that you're doing that. Do you ever find it difficult? Because you said managers. Do you have multiple managers? So if you're going to different teams or it's just one person?
Right. So I've actually probably had about 5 or 6 managers now because my company was facing a lot of turnover when I first joined last year. So I started with one manager. They left after a month or two. Then I had a different manager. She left after a month or two. And now I'm on my third manager. They've all been really great, but they, you know, choose different paths in life. Good for them. And then I also, so those are like my rotational managers that I report to the whole program. And then I have my individual managers for each rotation as well. So when I go to their team, that's my manager like giving me daily tasks. Yeah, so then I've had three of those too.
And you're fully remote?
Yeah, we have offices here in Chicago, and I've gone in a few times, probably around 10 times now. But I prefer working from home. It depends on my team. So right now my team is all over the world. Actually, we have people in India, the UK, Dallas, and then like two of us are here in Chicago, but we don't really go in. So,
oh, I love that. That's cool. I'm remote too. So sometimes it gets lonely because I don't have an office here. Oh. Well, there's a co-working space, but I went in one day and it's in Carmel, Indiana. And there was like two people and I was like, oh. I don't need to come here.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's how my office feels too. There's thousands of people who work out of my office, but very rarely do I ever see more than like maybe 50 people on my floor that could easily fit like 500.
So let's backtrack. I know where you went to school. You went to Indiana University in Bloomington. So talk me about how you really got started with your major. Did you grow up thinking about cybersecurity? What kind of led you to this road?
Yeah, so I went into college studying computer science, and that was because in high school, my brother is like 4 or 5 years older than me, and he was entering college when I was entering high school. And he got to college and he was like, Jenny, you need to study tech, like learn how to code. You will make money for life.
Was he studying tech?
No, he's like he was doing economics or something, you know, finance, bro. He works in like cryptocurrency now. So
oh, wow.
The worst. Yeah.
That's so cool. That is so interesting to me.
Yeah, it's all right.
You're like, not really.
He lives in Miami. He's whatever. We're very different. But so he was the one pushing me to like learn how to code. And so I think in high school there weren't that many. There was like one computer programming course, but they didn't do I don't think I was on time to enroll in it or something like that. So I got involved in robotics. And then I also did the Girls Who Code summer immersion program. And that was like that was the peak for me. That was when I really decided I need to do this in college. So then I went to college and did computer science. And then at IU, you have to kind of pick a specialization. And so you can look at the different courses. And so I just threw my hand into security and I ended up liking them. At the end of a couple of the classes, we had to write papers, research papers. And I really liked the topics. Like one of them I wrote about data anonymization. So data privacy and everything. And that was super interesting. I now have this role model, Dr. LaTanya Sweeney, who runs like a data lab at Harvard, I think. And then I did another paper on insider threat, and I still find those topics super interesting. So that kind of pushed me in the general direction of cybersecurity. I also got a Google travel grant at one of those first years of college to go to a cybersecurity conference, and I loved it. It was really cool, very fascinating. So
which one was that?
Started. It was called ICMCP. It's I don't even know what it stands for anymore, but it's like minorities in cybersecurity.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it was in Atlanta and it was really cool.
Yeah, so I love that you got started in high school. When you mentioned the Girls Who Code program, what was that? What did that entail?
Yeah, so it was like a 7-week program in person. It was 20 girls. And it was actually based here in Chicago. They have it in all the different cities. I'm not sure if it's the same now that everything went virtual. So this was back in 2016, I think. And we spent 4 or 5 weeks learning a different programming language each week and doing projects in them. And then the last 2 weeks we did a group project where we coded it from scratch. And then we like presented it the last day. And that is a huge organization that has now had so many women that go on and study computer science. Like I love seeing the classmates that I had and on LinkedIn and that are working at like Google and Microsoft and stuff. It's very it's very just liberating. It's cool to see.
It is very liberating. I was a camp counselor at school at IUPUI, and I feel so old, but now the girls that I was a counselor for have graduated, they're working, and there were about, how many did I, so there were about 20 in my group, and I think more than 50% of them are in STEM, and I think 15%, I think, cybersecurity, and it's like, it's beautiful, and I always get so happy, because I'm like, oh my gosh, because I remember when I started out at IPY, there was like nobody I could really reach out to discuss cybersecurity from a career perspective besides advisors, like at school, professors, which are still a good network. But yeah, that just kind of, you know, when you look around and you start to see us, it's so nice. And even the club that you did at school and me speaking on that and just being a part of so many organizations that are pushing women, even are the little silos in school, that means a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That's why I've been so big on like trying to attend conferences and or attending or joining organizations that support like women and minorities in tech or cyber, because yeah, there's in when you go into a physical space, you don't really see a lot of us on a daily basis, and maybe especially in Indiana.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty hard. Like,
we're here though, we're all working from home.
Yeah, I know, thank God. Yeah.
No, it does take a toll, you're right. So after you finished school, what was your first job? And for our listeners, how did you look for that first job? How was that searching?
I honestly don't remember. I'm pretty sure that I was throwing my resume literally everywhere.
Or should we talk about your internship? Because you had an internship during school, right?
Yeah. So I did. My first internship was at IBM. Working, my title was like a cognitive software developer, but what I really did was work in their Linux space. So that was actually really cool. I got really exposed to containerization.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really fun. And I was based in Austin, Texas. So that was also really fun. And yeah, that was a great experience. On a day-to-day basis, I did not love it because my office, so there were a lot of other interns who were in front end and full stack, and they got to work in this really cool modern office that had like a pond, it had a nice cafeteria, I had a gym, like it was beautiful. And that's where they bring the clients over to that location. And then like 5 minutes down the street is where my office was, very old, had barely any windows. I worked in like a closet.
Oh,
and
no.
Me and one other intern, we shared the room, and it was just silent. And like, honestly, the best thing about the office was they had free snacks. So they had like M&Ms and and coffee, and of course, but that's like the bare minimum. They did have a mini golf thing in there and like a pool table. So it was like they were trying to make it fun, but
yeah,
it was mostly old men. And I just, yeah, I like physically, I was not enjoying it. But when it came to the work, it was very cool.
How did you land that internship?
I think all of these have just been throwing my resume. I got my resume reviewed literally any opportunity on campus for free. Now, I would never pay for that. And did mock interviews. And I might have seen IBM like at some conferences sometimes. So maybe they had my name, you know, there that I've been interested in them before, but I don't think it was through anything in particular.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I mean, that's a good advice though, is to always get your resume looked at and do mock interviews. I'm glad that you landed your first internship and you really liked it.
Yeah, I do remember with that interview, it was a virtual interview, and I vividly remember being in a little like room that I reserved at IU to do the interview. And I hop on and he's asking me a simple coding question, probably like reverse a string. And I froze. I didn't know how to do it because I had told him that I could do like this language, but we were working on a different language in classes lately. So I was very confused, like mixing up the coding syntax. So I remember I asked him if I could Google it, and he let me Google it during the interview. And then I typed, we were sharing screens. And I just remember after that interview was done, I cried in that room. I called my mom. I was like, oh, I'm not going to get that. I really wanted it and I'm not going to get it. And then I immediately wrote an email to the recruiter and I was like, I know I did poorly. Like I promise I'll practice and I'll do better next year. Thank you for your time. And then I get on the bus and the recruiter calls me the next day, I think. And she's like, I don't know why you sent that email. We want to offer you the internship. I remember that it was pure luck. Someone was looking out for me that day because I felt like I did not deserve it. But they put a lot of trust in me. So.
They probably also trusted that you were curious and still used your resources of like, let me just Google it instead of like, I don't know what to do, or you just fake it and do the wrong thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Maybe I was one of the more humble people. Yeah, I don't know.
And then after IBM, after your internship, your first role was?
So then that was my first internship. Then my second one was at JP Morgan. But it was when the pandemic hit. So it was virtual and yes, it was shortened to like 6 weeks. I was technically a software engineer there, but we didn't really code. We got paired up with other interns to do like a social good project, which had good intention, but when it came down to like the actual work, we didn't really get to see what JP Morgan software engineering looks like. So
I was very curious about that one because I remember when you were interviewing for it and you told me about it, and the description didn't have too much coding. And I was like, how is she going to be a software engineer? Not do all this code, which I think that a lot of titles now don't mean like shit, like they're nothing to what you're gonna do. And it's crazy that, and not just saying this for JP Morgan, but there's a lot of companies out there that will just have the title and you read the description, it's like that's not the same thing.
Right, I definitely agree.
How long did you do that internship at JP Morgan?
That was only about 6 or 7 weeks, I think.
Oh, wow. And then you joined the company you're at now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you look for this position?
Google. I think I was really, so I actually did get the JP Morgan offer for full time and I did accept it. And then I don't know if you remember, I feel like we talked about this, but I did end up backing out because I really wanted my first role to be in security.
That's what I thought. I was like, that's why I said, wait, your first job was at JP Morgan, but no. And I always thought you were there. I didn't know you were at this finance company. Okay, mm-hmm. This all makes sense now. It's all makes sense. So you accepted the offer at JP Morgan. And then, so what made you just not want to do that one?
I really knew that I didn't want to be, I mean, after that internship, I didn't know what JP Morgan was really going to be like. And my parents were kind of back and forth on it too. They were like, you know, you could be going into a security role, but you don't know what the company's like now at the company I do work at. So it was like a risk. It was a gamble. But I was really, I remember I kept applying up until like maybe March of senior year, maybe. Mm-hmm. For security jobs. And yeah, this one was cool. The recruiter was really nice, talked to me on the phone. I really just wanted a security role, honestly. I wanted to be able, because I know that transitioning into security can be pretty challenging. As much as I love the field, the barriers are kind of tough.
They are tough. And that's something that people still like us that have the degree that are even trying to get in security or even transition to a technical security role is not easy. And it's so sad when I look at, you know, people looking at jobs right now that the requirements are like more than 5 years now. They're like 8 years of experience. It's like, who has that much? We're in our 20s. We just graduated, like, not us, but I mean, like, the general population that looks for a security job.
I know. And I go back and forth. Like, I do feel like it's, the knowledge is accessible. Like, it's easy to, not easy, but it's accessible to get a certification. It's accessible to join clubs and attend conferences, but it's not as accessible to get an actual job. I don't know.
That's true. And I think that, you know, people say the same things. You have to stand out. You have to get the certifications. I think now it just comes down to your experience and how you sell yourself. You spoke about certifications. I see that you have a few on your page, on your LinkedIn. What inspired you to get these? And can you kind of tell our listeners what certifications you have?
Yeah. So I got the Security Plus. I think that was my first one. That was in fall of 2020. Primarily because the pandemic hit, I was inside a lot and I had the time to study and take it. And I also really wanted that one because it was going to be a confidence booster for me. My whole college education, I was like, I guess I took some classes and I passed them, but I don't feel like I'm like qualified. So passing the Security Plus was very big for me. Like, okay, I know security. I am here. I can be here. And then my next one was AWS. I think I got that one within the past year or so. And I got that one because AWS and Microsoft, they have a lot of cloud challenges where you can take their exams for free. They'll provide a voucher. So I've been really taking advantage of those, and I really wanted to learn cloud, and I'm still very interested in cloud. So I'm trying to head in that direction and take more of the cloud certifications. I'm actually in a Google Cloud like program right now that's virtual and kind of on your own pace. So I want to try like all three of the platforms and see which one of my company unfortunately uses one in particular the most. So I'll probably focus on that one, but it's cool to know all of them.
No, that's very true. I'm very interested in that too. When you got these certifications, were they paid for on your own or paid for by the companies you've been with?
No, I paid for Security Plus myself. I think that there might have been a student discount or like when I took it, but I'm very big on like never paying for study materials. So I have always found like Google Drives of a bunch of PDF books. And then with the AWS one, I think that was a free one through the programs that they have. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I think those are good. Those are good certifications. My first one was Security Plus. I'm still looking towards any cloud security certifications because I think that's obviously there's going to be a lot in the cloud right now. And that's just kind of leading towards the future of security. Do you think that from your perspective and kind of what you've seen in the industry, do you think that people need certifications?
I think it depends. That's going to be my answer to everything about needing stuff. Like, I personally don't think you need an education, like a standard college degree, but it always depends. I chose to do the Security Plus mostly for myself as a confidence booster. But if you have already done security projects and you're a lot more hands-on doing labs by yourself and stuff, and that's awesome. And I don't think you need a certification to prove that, to be honest. I was one that I've never really been hands-on. I don't have any labs. I don't have like a portfolio. So certifications for me help me prove. And I'm really like, I enjoy tests, like taking answer multiple choice and things like that. Those are more fun to me.
That's crazy. Labs. I hate tests. That's probably why I haven't gotten any more certifications, because I am a horrible test taker.
As most people are. No, that's perfectly fair. So that's why I'm saying I don't think anyone needs it. It's really preference.
Yeah.
Unless the
job
that's true. Requires it, but that's dumb.
Yeah, I know. Are there any certifications that you'd recommend somebody that wants to get into security to focus on?
I would start with the Security Plus. One thing I like is that studying for certifications, you don't have to pay for the exam. You can just learn it. You can just like read the materials and see if you actually like that area. And if you don't, then don't pay for the exam, or like don't keep, just go sell the book and buy a different one, like learn something else. Because yeah, for me, when I started studying for AWS and learning that material, I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. I'm pretty interested in this platform. And I think like the stuff that they offer is neat. And I know that I like the things that cloud offers. It took me a long time to research different certifications. And if I would read the description of a certification and like the learning objectives, and I'm like, I'm not interested in that, I just go look at a different one. So you don't necessarily need to invest your money into a certification, but if you want to spend your time and just learn the material and see if you like that topic, I think that's a good way to expose yourself.
Yeah, that's a good advice. I think that there's so many platforms out right now that have cloud security training that offer the exam and training bundled. I remember when I did Security Plus, I got sent to San Diego by my first job. So I had the whole class and then exam included. So you did your self-pace.
Yeah, I did it in like a month.
Yeah, that's crazy. I know, I did mine in like 2 weeks in person. Or maybe a week. I think it was a week, and that was intense. Wow. But I wish I had the time, you know, especially right now, like with work to juggle and focus on a certification. But I just finished one. I'm going to take the exam soon for the it's Certified Digital Human Trafficking Investigator.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's just one that I haven't been looking at like the sands or like the cloud right now, because I think that I've just been like interested in that aspect of security. How do you manage your time while you're working and doing certifications?
I'll be honest, it's been really hard, not even managing my time, but managing my energy and motivation. I'm like, after working 9 to 5 every day, I'm like, how do people have energy to do anything else? So yeah, I've been procrastinating a lot, to be quite honest. I had originally scheduled this exam for like early September, I think. And then I pushed it to mid-November. And honestly, it might get moved again. So, you know, if you find the answer to that question, you let me know, because it's been very hard. I've been giving myself a break. I just got out of college last year. I want to get comfortable in my job. And I'm still prioritizing. I live in Chicago. There's so much to do here. I love it. So I've been focusing on making new friends here, going to the gym and going on walks outside and spending time with my pets and a lot of time with my family, because they live really close. So I'm not putting a lot of pressure on myself to get these certifications. Honestly, it's all on my own timeline.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's important for us to maintain that work-life balance. And it's crazy because you're so ahead that I didn't realize you just graduated last year. You just said that and I was like, wait, am I that older than you? Oh my God. Do you think that, I love that you're so early on, because the other woman that I've kind of spoke to are later in their career. And I remember when I was in your shoes. Do you feel that traditional education and being in that environment with school and security and tech is different from where you are today, like as an early entry level position in security? Like, is this what you've envisioned of your first career looking like? You know, how do you feel about your opinions on security as a community, especially with having those two internships and then having this career
The biggest thing for me starting this job compared to college is that in college, I was very on the technical side, and I still really like that side. I guess like I was doing a lot of my major courses were computer science. I was programming. And then even in my security courses, we were talking about like hardware and software security, you know? And then I get to my job and it's mostly risk. It's a lot of like, how are we measuring the risk of our like controls and things? And I'm not an engineer. I'm not working with engineers. I'm working with almost like the business side of my company. Like they basically report this information to people higher up who report it to other people higher up, and they're the ones who make the decisions. So yeah, it's like mitigating and managing risk of a bank, which is very important and essential, but it's not anything that I had ever been exposed to in college. And it's something like, I guess I did assume that it needed to exist, but I don't even know if there are any courses on that, like anywhere. I think that that's an area that needs to be like discussed more in college and maybe graduate programs or something.
So that's so interesting, because at IPY now I had a risk assessment class, and I know that now there's a master's called, I think it's cybersecurity, but it's information assurance. So it's focused on the legal side of security and policies and insurance, which I, like you said, you don't learn about in school until you get in the industry. Do you like that part?
I like that it is good exposure for me. It helps me become more well-rounded. But I do, and I like that it's showing me that I don't really want to do this for the rest of my career. That's why it's been fun to attend cybersecurity conferences and like learn about other people that are in different roles. Like I do want to go more into a security engineering role, hopefully within the cloud, but we'll see. I mean, I'm pretty open-minded, but this is good to learn that this side exists. Cause I know like my team, we have to meet with like leaders who manage engineers sometimes, and we have to communicate with them. And that is one thing I will say, I like that a lot about the roles that I've been in, is that everyone is very good at communicating. I feel like if I was on the engineering side, it'd be a lot more like individual and independent work, and you just kind of take the task and do it. But in the areas I've been in, you really have to be working in teams. You have to be working with other teams, communicating, relaying information, and you have to be clear and concise. And I hate meetings. I hate having meetings all day, but it's really good to be hearing these conversations between managers about important topics. So that's been good exposure.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. You mentioned meetings, and I don't know if you have them daily, but yeah, walk me through how your kind of day-to-day is, since you said that it's a rotational, and then the one that you're doing now, I know it's always going to change every 6 months, but what do you see yourself typically doing in a day?
Yeah, so yeah, each team looks different, but right now my team is adapting to the Agile framework. So we have daily stand-up, we do backlog refinement like once or twice a week. We have a board that we move our little tasks across, and we're actually hiring new people onto the team. So it's been like meeting new people and getting situated. The team is fairly new. I think it was when I joined, there were only two people on it, including my manager. And now we have five in total. So it's growing and it's still adapting. But yeah, so we have the daily stand up. And then from there, we just kind of break out the tasks and see what needs to get done today and this week. We, you know, categorize by priority. And then there's usually at least one other meeting of the day. Sometimes I have like two or three other meetings. And I usually just sit and listen, honestly. I don't have much to contribute to them, but because someone else on my team is always there leading the conversation with the other people. So it's cool. I'm mostly just learning. and getting exposed to things. Sometimes I get to look at some data sets and like analyze them. We use a lot of Power BI, so that's been interesting to learn.
Cool.
General
That's
day.
cool. Are the other coworkers with you, are they all risk analysts as well on a rotational, or are their titles different?
So everyone I've worked with has been at least 5 years into their career, usually. I never work with other people who are fresh out of college, and all the like rotational people are split around the company, so you're never sharing a team with another rotational person. So yeah, they're all different titles, and actually I'm under the risk department, but right as a rotational person, but right now my team is in the technology department because I told my rotational manager that I wanted to be working more in tech, so they've put me in a team that's in tech, but my next rotation will be back in risk.
That's so cool though, because you're not only getting experience with other teams and other domains of security, but you're networking a lot. Your connections at your first career are so essential. You're always going to remember the moments with them, the advice that you're given, and the experience that you're gaining. When you meet these teams, is it hard for you to come in from a 6 month like rotation and jump into something? How does that work? Like, how are you, because this is new to me too, how are you introduced to a rotational team and they're just like, okay, Jenny's gonna work with us, like, let's do it.
Yeah, the first rotation I was completely thrown in, and it was only me, my manager, and a consultant from one of those consulting firms. And the consultant, thank the Lord for her, because she was doing everything and she was so good at it. And she seemed pretty young, but I found her on Instagram and she's like in her 30s and married and
Like, I looked her up. I wanted to know her life. She was public?
yeah
Oh,
yeah
gosh.
she's actually really into fitness,
Oh,
so she
nice.
has like a whole fitness page, which I knew about her. We talked briefly about it, but it turns out she like competes, she does like bodybuilding competitions.
Oh, my gosh.
And
Wow,
I would
that's
have never
intense.
known, yeah, I would have never known that that was her whole other life, because she would work a lot, really, like she would do really good work each day. And yeah, no, I'm so glad that that was where I started, because she really helped me out. She was very patient with me, and like she would just put my name on everything that she did and be like, yes, Jenny, help me with this. And
Oh.
sometimes I would like be on a call with her, watching her share her screen and be like looking at it, but I didn't do anything.
You were there
I
for like
really
moral support.
honestly, so I really appreciated her. And then she actually got married while I was on that rotation, so she was out of
Oh.
office for a couple of weeks, and I had to like cover for her. And she would, on a weekly basis, that was a cool part about that rotation, is that the team I was on was very high profile. We were reporting metrics to my manager's manager, who's like pretty high up there. And so that was cool. I was the one who had to present that thing like twice while she was out of office, and she wrote a whole script for me, but I still the one who said it.
She wrote a script. Oh, how sweet.
I know that was the best
That's
start to this
funny.
job. And honestly, I'm very thankful to her, because yeah, I was we were thrown in with no training. Like I jumped into the team, didn't know what I was going to be doing, and my manager was giving me assignments. I remember one day my manager gave me an assignment, and it was like 11 in the morning, right? So we met and she kind of talked with me about it. I was like, okay, I can do this. And she's like, I need this by like ASAP. So I get started working. After lunch, I message her. I'm like, I'm kind of stuck on this. Could we meet to talk about it? And she says, no, I'm busy. I have meetings right now. We'll deal with it later, or something like that. And then 4 p.m. comes around. I'm like, I'm still like, I don't know what I'm doing. I need help. And she's like, just send me what you have. And I send it to her. She doesn't see it till like 4:30 or 4:45. She's like, just honestly, just slug off. She's like, it's okay, just go. And I was so stressed. I thought I was gonna be fired. Like, she's never gonna talk to me again. She hates me. I wasted her time. I mean, that I feel like that was on both of us. Like, if she had just helped me, we wouldn't be in that situation. But yeah, so that was very scary. And thankfully, nothing like that has happened again since. But it's definitely a huge learning curve. It was very, very intimidating the first 6 months. And then the cloud rotation was a lot more chill. It was my manager and one other guy. And me and the other guy was like my mentor, and he helped me out. So each time I find one person who really, really connects with me and will get on calls with me and just show me what they're doing. And I'm so grateful. I love the culture at my company that people are very collaborative and supportive.
And the team sounds small.
It's so small. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, because I when you talk about it, and I you said one other guy and then your manager, I was like, oh, I thought these were like maximum six people, but it's pretty small when you're doing the rotational. Are these teams divided by, so you're in the risk team. You spoke about a technology team. Are these different departments under Northern Trust?
Yeah, so under Northern, there's like the wealth management, and then there's the asset management. So those are all the money ones that the bank does. People in suits, and they went to Kelly and whatever. And then we have the technology. So one guy runs that, and then we have the risk department. And so those are completely separate. They work together a lot. But I think they're like first and second line type things too. That's where you really divide it. But yeah, I am under the risk umbrella of that.
I wondered how that infrastructure worked because I wonder how, you know, when you look at other industries and they are doing rotationals, they're usually within the same department, but with different teams. But you're working with different departments and different teams. And when you join the teams, your primary focus is to, are you focusing on the risk of each team and what they specialize in?
Well, in my first rotation, I got to just during the first 6 months. It wasn't necessarily that rotation in particular, but they pulled me aside to do some training and awareness stuff. So I got some exposure to that. I got to write the phishing email that we sent internally to all the employees. And I got to like distribute the reports of how people performed on that phishing test. So that was one thing I got like tangibly. I can say I did that, and it was pretty cool. Especially because, I mean, yeah, they're small teams, but there's like several thousand people that work at our company. So I was seen. I was seen and heard. And another thing I got to work on is two different projects that our risk department is running. And I can't say the names of them, I'm pretty sure, but they're mostly with the regulatory stuff. So like submitting regulatory documents to the Federal Reserve because we're a bank. So I got to do hands-on things with that as well. And like that's not something I, you know, got qualified to do in college. It's just something they were like, we need a resource and you're a resource, so we're gonna put you on this project. So that was something that I can tangibly say I did as well. That was fun. And I, you know, those documents, I get to look at them. I get to like redact some of them and I get to see what all is going on. These are like plans that we submit to the right to the Federal Reserve and our regulatory agencies, and we are like, this is our plan for security moving forward. Like with the new SEC regulation about public companies ha and institutions have to like alert them of incidents after 4 days. Within 4 days of an incident occurring, we have to be sharing the report and letting them know that an incident happened. And that's crazy. And I'm gonna get to do some hands-on work with that, I'm pretty sure, at my company about like how the heck we're gonna deal with that.
Do you think that you learned a lot from school for this position?
Dude, not at all. I feel
Yeah.
like nothing I learned. And that's why I'm so big, like no one should go to college. If you want to just get a bachelor's in anything and just be involved and like learn on your own.
Literally so many people ask me and DM me all the time on my security page, or women who secure, they're like, what these are the majors that my school offers. I'm like, just pick one, like, it doesn't matter,
honestly.
Unless you do have the drive and you want to learn. You did CS, I did cybersecurity, so it's like, yeah. I mean it was still good, because I think that, you know, we kind of got a head start just from the fundamentals and like the basic knowledge, versus like if you did arts or music.
Yeah, that's true. I'm also strongly supportive of community college.
Yes,
I went to IU only because it was affordable. They have Indiana residents get a lot of scholarships for Indiana schools, so it's very, very affordable. But if you're not going to a school, if you're going to be paying out of pocket for college, go to the cheapest option and study what you are interested in, and don't waste your time doing something that, going to an expensive college,
yeah,
and then
just for the name,
choosing what you're going to do at 18 years old and thinking that that's going to be your whole life. Like, exactly. Your life is going to change.
For our listeners, I guess, you know, after this position that you have with Northern Trust, do you see yourself becoming, I know you said security engineer, what are your career goals?
I'm going to maintain the corporate 9-to-5 life for a little while. Not sure how long exactly. I like living in Chicago right now, but eventually I do. So I don't know if you know about this. I started a little cybersecurity camp for high school girls that takes place every summer. It's 1 week, it's virtual, and I'm doing it through IU Bloomington. And I've done it for 2 summers now. And so this coming summer will be the third one. And if that stays alive, I'm gonna like move over to that. I really, Girls Who Code was the reason I got into coding and into tech. And I want to create something like that for women in cybersecurity. And I love that our camp is virtual. So we had women from all over. When I ran it, we had students from Jamaica and Egypt attend. and they got to do a little group project. And so they like got to learn and demonstrate what they learned. And they made a little cohort, you know, they made friends with other students that are interested in that. And
wait, now I knew about this, but I didn't know that you started it.
Yeah, I started it.
Oh, that's so cool. Wait, you have to tell me about how you got started with that.
I think I proposed the idea to my advisor. His name is Isak Asar. At IU, he runs the cybersecurity and global policy program at IU, and he was my club advisor for women in cybersecurity. And okay. We were just having a chat in his office, and I was like, you know, one day I want to start a nonprofit that teaches girls cybersecurity. And he was like, why wait? You can do that now. And then he pushed me to do it that summer. And so we did it. We like barely got by financially, but they've been funding it, you know, now. And now I'm working with a different advisor. He was my advisor at like a research lab, and he's doing his master's, I think, but he does, he's like advisor for other PhD students and stuff. So we had, I think we had about 15 to 20 girls this past summer too.
How do the girls join this?
I can send the link to you. It's not open yet for next summer, but it will be. We're starting to plan it already. So just apply online. It's affordable, and then we also have scholarships, so we can fully pay for students. We don't want financials to be a barrier, but.
And you're teaching them the security, or is there a platform that they're using?
It's over Zoom, and it's classes with like instructors. So it's not a platform. It's just every day you join the Zoom and we'll see what we learn that day.
Oh, I love that. Are they instructors at IU?
Yeah, it was students last year, and it'll hopefully be students again this year, or me.
That's cool. I want to help. Let me know if there's any opportunity where I can get involved. I'm always doing things in indie off scene, like going to high schools and speaking to them. And I think we can cross paths with this. So I don't know if you're aware of like Ben Davis High School.
Yeah.
Okay. I am on their cybersecurity advisory board for their high school now. And wow. We're always looking for things out there to get involved in, whether that be in person or even virtual. So yeah, we need to talk about that because that's really awesome. Cool. Jenny, thank you so much for being on this podcast. And it was really, really great to even catch up with you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I feel like we need to have like weekly chats.
Maybe I know.
When I come down to Indy or you come to Chicago, we can actually have fun.
No, we can actually meet. We
in
haven't
person.
Met.
We've never met in person. I have no idea how tall you are.
Anyway, this was great. Again, thank you, Jenny. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Women Who Secure.